More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. Earlier this week, we previewed the fall art scene on stage and galleries and more around Milwaukee. Today, we turn to the big screen, which is hoping to rebound from a slow summer at the box office. Film contributor Dave Lurson joins our Dan Harmon to discuss fall movies, which are often Oscar contenders, as movie companies hope they're the freshest in the minds of awards voters. Dave Lurson talks about just how bad it was for movies this summer.
By some reports, Hollywood had its worst summer in 8 years, with ticket sales down 15% to 20% in the U.S. Some multiplexes in Milwaukee have actually cut back their hours. Although the industry likes to blame digital pirating, which is certainly a factor, maybe the underlying cause is that moviegoers have concluded that most movies aren't worth the money. Now we are entering fall, the season of quality pictures and Oscar contenders. Relief from the dog days of summer is here, we hope.
Before we talk about fall movies, I just want to ask you about digital pirating, which you just mentioned. It seems to me most digital pirating is not of new releases or summer blockbusters or anything that would keep people from going to a theater in 2 days or that same night. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like that's not the bulk of digital pirating.
I don't know where the bulk of digital pirating falls exactly. I mean, there are bootleg copies of old movies that have fallen into either public domain or some gray area. Is that digital pirating? Maybe. The kind of digital pirating of new releases that Hollywood always talks about, I would actually contend, or you could make an argument, that helps promote movies. Because really, you know, somebody sees a bit of a superhero movie of some kind and they watch it on their smartphone or wherever, they're probably not going to get the quality, or they're going to get the whole movie, maybe. But I think that really it can serve as a tantalizing bait, more or less, to draw more people of that mindset into the theaters to see the movie. So I don't know. I mean, does it keep some people home? They're satisfied watching a pirated copy of a Dark Knight movie, you know, maybe. But on the other hand, I mean, many of those movies do very well despite digital pirating, and maybe because of it in some way.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling we're going to talk about digital pirating someday or a future interview.
Good topic.
Yeah. Do you think that this fall's offerings are in any way an anecdote to the summer's kind of dismal performance?
Dismal performance as far as ticket sales?
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to see about that. A counterpart to a rebuke maybe to the low quality of many summer movies, hopefully. Again, I mean, this is the time of year that when Hollywood in particular is stockpile quality movies as they define it and they release them. You know, beginning in September, and all of a sudden there's a huge glut of them at the end of the year, including movies that are released in a couple of theaters in Los Angeles and New York just to make the Oscar nomination deadlines. And these movies often don't make it to Milwaukee until January, February, March, maybe even April at some points.
What are some of the examples of these movies?
Well, Oscar buzz movie. Here's an interesting one, Birdman. It stars Michael Keaton as a washed-up actor from a failing superhero franchise. He wants to stage a comeback for himself on Broadway, reconnecting with his true roots as an actor. Sounds very interesting. Michael Keaton is always good. It's a movie that may even have crossover appeal of some kind. You know, classic movie fans, art house fans, and superhero movie fans might all have some reason to go to see this movie.
All right. Well, is there an example of a movie that they are very specifically targeting to a certain audience rather than trying to appeal to what you just mentioned, three different audiences?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that there's some evidence that Hollywood is thinking on multiple levels this fall. Exodus, Gods and Kings. Ridley Scott is directing a biblical epic, and suddenly after a gap of many years, there are a lot of biblical epics coming out. With Ridley Scott, an esteemed director, I mean, they're hoping to get, you know, I guess, mainstream film buffs who will want to see what Ridley Scott is doing. But they're also going to be marketing this to the evangelical Christian movie market, which has become a player out there. It's more than just a blip now. It seems to be, you know, a really, you know, flashing light on the radar screen of Hollywood. And so maybe there you have an example of two different groups of people. And you have Christian Bale as Moses and Sigourney Weaver and Ben Kingsley. So people who are really interested in movies will want to see it because of all these reasons. And then you have the evangelical Christian market who will want to see it and see how Moses fares compared to their understanding of the biblical account.
Is this a combination that has any history of success or failure?
Well, you know, I'd have to check to see how well Noah did in the long run. I think Noah did well. It stirred up all kinds of controversies, you know, theological as well as aesthetic, and but it got people talking, which is, does not happen, you know, routinely with the movies that are released in movie theaters these days.
You might argue that Da Vinci Code is in a way that genre. Not quite as targeted towards a specific religious audience.
I guess, although not quite the same audience as... I mean, these things get complicated, which is maybe one of the reasons that Hollywood steered away from it for so long. You know, you don't want to automatically offend a group of people who might be the core audience for something. So you have to dance around very carefully with it, and it just creates headaches. But they seem to be more willing now to give these things a shot.
Well, what else can we expect from Hollywood this fall?
Well, here's an interesting movie, Foxcatcher. Steve Carell, unrecognizable, he's being referred to when people who have seen this movie talk about it, the unrecognizable Steve Carell as a killer. This is based on the true crime story of the 1996 murder of Olympic wrestling champion by a multimillionaire, John E. DuPont. I vaguely remember this story and the news at the time, and it's made into a movie with Steve Carell as DuPont. Gone Girl is probably kind of interesting. David Fincher, intriguing director, Zodiac, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the American remake. You have Ben Affleck in this movie based on a best-selling novel about a woman who disappears, and the husband, who is very concerned about her disappearance, comes to be the suspect in the investigation. Oh, he's intriguing. And then one other one that really kind of has me interested, Inherent Vice, based on a Thomas Pynchon novel, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson of There Will Be Blood fame with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon. It sounds like a real film noirish kind of a thing set in Los Angeles, 1970, with the Manson trial as a background to it, and you know, murder investigations, private investigators, all kinds of dark side of American life sort of things.
All right. Well, you just dusted off quite a few big names. Is that a prerequisite for Hollywood offerings in the fall?
Oh, well, big names are always helpful,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, people will go to movies sometimes because of a big name. Although I have to say that my suspicion is that the power of stars is not what it used to be. There are plenty of movies that have stars in them in the past few years that have not done very well. So that's not an automatic indicator anymore of what will work and what won't.
Well, what's coming down the road for independent cinema or non-Hollywood?
Well, the boundaries there are always kind of vague these days. I guess this is considered to be outskirts of Hollywood, as I like to call it, a movie called The Judge with Robert Duvall and Robert Downey Jr., speaking of big names. It's a family estrangement film. Sounds really interesting. Father-son. Duvall plays a judge, and Downey is a lawyer. They've been apart for many years. The son's mother dies. He comes home to the town where the father lives and becomes embroiled in some kind of a legal case involving the old man. So that has some interest.
Well, what makes that one a non-Hollywood? Where is it produced?
Well, I think you look at these things. Where is the money coming from exactly? Who's releasing it? Who's directing it? You know, a lot of these outskirts of Hollywood movies draw big-name actors because they simply have a more interesting screenplay than a typical Hollywood movie. It's a chance to really burrow deeply into a more intriguing character. So if you put the right team together, you can make a modestly successful and actually very aesthetically successful film that's not exactly aimed at every multiplex in America. But another interesting thing, indie comedy, Saint Vincent, with Bill Murray, who has been making a career out of doing these kinds of outskirts of Hollywood movies. Bill Murray plays an old-timer who smokes and drinks and gambles and is deeply in debt to his bank and to loan sharks. He bonds with a single mom living next door, played by Melissa McCarthy. Some people who've seen it describe it as kind of a W.C. Fields type of thing with, you know, he hates kids and there's this kid he has to, you know, take care of. But, of course, he probably softens toward the end and becomes a nice guy.
Yeah, are there any movies where people actually intensify their dislike of kids as they get to know them more?
Well, that could be a nascent genre that we'll see more of in a few years.
All right. And what else from the indie world?
I guess this is, again, kind of borderline indie. John Ridley, a screenwriter and director from Milwaukee roots, came from here. He wrote the screenplay for 12 Years a Slave, got an Oscar. He directed a movie called Jimmy All Is By My Side about Jimi Hendrix the year before Jimi Hendrix really broke big, 1967, I believe. It's focused on that year leading up to the Monterey Pop Festival. I'm really looking forward to this movie in a number of ways. I generally don't like musical biography films because they try to squeeze a whole life into 2 hours. And it always follows the same kind of cut-and-dried pattern, you know, the rise, the stardom, the problem with drink and drugs and women and whatever it is, business partners, and the comeback. Well, here we don't have that. We have the year of a still unknown rising star. Andre Benjamin from Outkast plays Jimi Hendrix. That sounds like good casting. So I'm very much looking forward to it. It was supposed to be released this summer. It's been pushed back. They are now promising a fall release for it.
Is there anything that's not in these two categories?
What about horror movies for Halloween?
All right, yeah.
There are a few of them coming up. There's Annabelle. This is the prequel to The Conjuring. This is the backstory, I guess, about the doll named Annabelle who is somehow at root of all these problems. There's a movie called Honeymoon starring Rose Leslie from the Game of Thrones TV program about a honeymoon in a remote rural cabin in the woods that goes horribly wrong, of course.
Yeah, what's going to happen there?
Then there's A Girl Walks Home at Night, a vampire western it's been described as. So we have several Halloween movies on the way.
All right. Well, as if that's not enough, is there anything that doesn't even fit into those three categories? Yeah.
Well, it's science fiction.
Okay.
The success of Gravity, you know, has probably once again paved the way for, you know, different kinds of science fiction movies. I believe that this movie, Interstellar, by director Christopher Nolan, was in the works before Gravity made it big, so I'm not going to try to connect the success of one with the inception of another. But it probably will build on the success of Gravity audience-wise. Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway, good stars. It's about, well, interstellar travel. How do you do that? Breaking the laws of physics and all this. Well, wormholes, of course, one of the popular scientific theories of nowadays. Naturally, they find a wormhole somehow and somewhere, and they begin to embark on the journey.
Sounds like a lot of fun stuff this fall. Thanks for coming in, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson is arts and entertainment editor for the Shepherd Express weekly newspaper, author of its I Hate Hollywood blog, and our regular film contributor. He shared his fall movie preview with Lake Effect's Dan Harmon. One last break, and then our weekly installment of Listening to Mitchell, plus a look ahead to an upcoming concert from the Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.